and Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. Tonight I have with us a unique and different kind of guest than I normally have. Everybody that listens to my show, most of them have some kind of book or product or service that they're trying to sell. So we're going to do an interview on web marketing for dummies. And it's really not for dummies, because when I opened up the book, it was still Greek to me, even though it's very simple. It's a whole new language. So I thought I'd get somebody to help us understand that language. And I have with us Jan Zimmerman, who wrote the book Web Marketing for Dummies. How are you, Jan?
I'm just fine. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thanks for coming on my show. So before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and how you came to do this thing, how you learned how to do all of this stuff, and where people can find you.
Well, I had a background in regular marketing, offline marketing, and got involved in online marketing by actually writing a book called Marketing on the Internet. It was a great way to learn. And that was about, 15 years ago. So I have been involved in providing online marketing services for clients ever since that time. My company is Watermelon Mountain Web Marketing, and I'm based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Over time, I was asked to write several dummies books. One is Web Marketing for Dummies, which is now in its second edition, and the other is Social Media Marketing All-in-One for Dummies, which I co-wrote and which just came out at the end of last September. Because social media, which is Facebook and Twitter and all those things that your listeners have probably heard of and aren't too sure how in the world they can use it to achieve their business goals, is really becoming a unique tool now for being able to reach people who might be interested in what your listeners have to offer.
And where can people find you?
They can find me at watermelonweb.com, and they can find the books at watermelonweb.com/books.htm.
Okay. So I just have some list of questions, and you're going to have to just fill me in on other things that I don't know. First of all, what is email marketing, and do you need a special kind of software to do that, or can you use something that most people have, like Word?
Okay, that is a very good question. Email marketing allows a company to send messages to clients or prospects or people who are simply interested in what it is that they have to sell, whether it's a product or a service. Email marketing puts a message into recipients' email boxes. So they get it when they get their email. Whether it's a business email or personal email, it comes into their email box. They don't have to go anywhere special to see your message. Email marketing is an extremely effective marketing tool. It has what we call a very high click-through rate, which is one of the key ways that you measure your success when you're marketing online. And that's if people see your message, do they then there's a link in the email, do they then click through to your website so you have a real chance to capture them? So first of all, if you're going to do email marketing, generally you want to already have a website because that's where you're going to want to send people to get more information. Most email messages, to be effective, are short, no more than a page or so.
Oh, and one thing I want to say to my listeners tonight. Tonight, I don't usually allow call-ins, but tonight, if you have a question and you want to call in, please feel free to do that because Jan's agreed to ask questions if anybody calls in. So how do we get together our email list to send out? In what form does that go in?
Okay, one of the things that's very important to know is that you can't use your regular email program to send messages usually to more than 50 people at a time because you will be considered to be spamming. So the first thing to know is that you need to work with a special email provider. And that can be, unless you want to do and I'll talk later about some alternatives that you can use that are free, but there are some relatively inexpensive packages like MailChimp.com, MailChimp.com, or ConstantContact.com that for relatively little money allow you legally and technically to send a message to a lot more people. But you really have to work at collecting email addresses from people who have given you permission to send them a message. That's to avoid spam. So the way you collect those addresses, there are several ways. One is online. You have on your website a place where people can sign up, and you go back, and it's all built into the software to be sure that they're giving you permission to do this. Or if you are at, let's say, a conference or a trade show or a fair, or you're giving a seminar, you can have people sign up to get your email messages, and then you can enter their names into your mailing list using one of these programs.
So if you have, say, an email list already, say, in your Gmail account, and you've got 10,000 email names, how would you get them from there to this MailChimp?
What you would do is you would export them, which creates basically the equivalent of a spreadsheet file, and then you import them back into the mailing address section of the MailChimp or the Constant Contact software.
Okay.
So you don't have to type them all in again one by one. That would be horrible.
Yeah, it would. That's what I figured that you'd have to do. That's just how much I know. And would do you prepare your email within the MailChimp or the Constant Contact, or do you prepare your letter or whatever it is that you're sending in Word and then put it in like that? Because some email programs won't take photographs or pictures or artwork.
Mail programs take everything. You can put in text, you can put in pictures, you can put in a link to sound, you can put in a link to video, you can put in animation, you can do just about everything now with an email program. What you don't want to really create it in Word, because if you copy and paste it from Word into these email programs, you get a whole lot of garbage characters, and that'll mess up your screen. What the email programs do, and I'm sure most of your listeners have received emails that have pictures and everything in them, is they have a little template, or they have a choice of templates, and you choose which layout you want, and then you choose which colors you want, and then you copy and paste or type directly in, you know, or upload your photos, but they give you little boxes. The interface is usually a lot like Word, but you're not going to do it in Word itself. You're going to do it in the little boxes that they give you as an email template as part of the program.
And is that how you would prepare a newsletter as well?
That is how you prepare the newsletter.
Okay, interesting.
And then you select which names are supposed to get it, and you schedule it to go out.
And does the scheduling, next time can you just hit one button and it go and it stay the same, or do you have to redo all this, check all the ones you want it to go to every time?
You can just copy it and duplicate it, so you don't have to set it all up again the next time. Generally, once you set up a template in an email program, all you're going to end up changing after that is your content, because obviously usually your newsletters probably going to have different content when you send it out another time.
How much do these things cost?
That's a very good question. They're relatively inexpensive. Constant Contact, for instance, has a free trial for up to 25. No, I take that back. I think it's up to 100 names. MailChimp lets you send out on a trial up to 6,000 names before they charge. And then the rates run generally anywhere from $15 a month to 100 or something a month, depending on the number of names on your list.
Oh, okay.
So for a typical list of, say, maybe 2,500 names, it would be probably about $25 a month.
Okay. Also, what is the purpose of a pay-per-click program? What does that do for you, and how would you implement that?
Okay, you're asking really good questions. Pay-per-click ads are the ads that generally refer to the ads that you see on the right-hand side of search engines, like Yahoo or Google or Bing. So when you look at a search engine, and I'm sure your listeners use search engines frequently to find information online, what's on the left is called natural or organic search results. That's the wide column. Mm-hmm. And then on the right-hand side is a column of little text ads. And they look kind of like a classified ad, and they're limited to three lines plus the URL that people link to. And those ads are really designed to help people reach their market when perhaps they can't get a high enough ranking on the natural search results, or when they really want to promote a specific product. And what you do with a pay-per-click campaign is you sign up with the search engine to run those kinds of advertisements, and you basically bid on how much you're willing to pay on a particular search term to have your ad show up in that right-hand column.
And how would you find that thing, the place to bid?
How do you find the place to bid? If you wanted to do this, let's say, with Google, which is probably the most common, you go to AdWords, adwords.google.com, and they walk you through the whole process.
Okay.
AdWords takes a little time to get used to, but there are very good online training tools right there on AdWords.
Okay. And what is an online event, and how? First of all, how do you set that up, and then how do you get the word out that you're having one?
Oh, good questions. Online events can take many forms. They can take the form of a webcast or a webinar, which would be like an interactive course where you're kind of teaching and explaining to people, and usually people show a PowerPoint slide and they give a presentation, and then they take questions by chat. They take text questions that their viewers type in, and then they respond to that in real time. A live event can also be a video cast. You can schedule a particular video cast or program or it could be like your live radio show. That's also a live event. Was there a particular type of event you had in mind?
No, I got just asking across the board.
Across the board.
How do you put that together? Is there certain software you use, or where do you go?
Yes, there is definitely certain software that you use, depending on the type of event that you're putting together. I mean, obviously, if you're doing video, you're going to want to be on a video casting site, perhaps like a place like Ustream, Ustream, which lets you run live video, or Vimeo, Vimeo, which lets you run live video. You can do real-time audio like you're doing here through internet radio stations, and you can find those kinds of outlets by just searching for online radio or podcasting, which is the other name for it. If you're doing a webinar, you probably are going to use special software like WebEx, WebEx.com, or GoToMeeting.com. So there's lots of different vendors of these software packages, and some of them just charge per event, and some of them, if you're going to be doing it on a regular basis, you know, you're a volume buyer, you could do them more cheaply. They will help you promote your event, but this is where you can start to use the different kinds of online marketing you've just talked about to get the word out. So, for instance, you can list your, you can publicize your event in your e-newsletter. You would publicize it on your website. You might even take out some pay-per-click ads to publicize your event. You could send out an online press release about your event. You can list your event in online directories. There are directories of webcasts. There are directories of video. There's directories of radio shows. There's directories of just about everything.
How do you find them?
You just search for directory and whatever it is, or you look for event calendars, webinars, or that type of thing. So you can search for whatever you need. You'll also find, though, that when you do that, when you do the broad, the promotion for your events through by media type, you're going to reach a very broad audience. You may do better by looking for websites that are similar to yours and asking them to post a link to your event. Many of them have their own calendars of upcoming activities, and you can promote them on other people's sites. Sometimes they will ask you to use your website to link back to them.
Okay.
What I generally say to people is before you get involved in one particular type of promotion, to stop and think about what it is you're trying to accomplish. Are you trying to make sales? Are you trying to gain prospects? Are you just trying to educate and inform people? Are you trying to establish future relationships? Figure out what you want to accomplish. Figure out exactly who you want to reach. Who is your target market? And then select your method, your marketing method, based on your goals and your audience. Because otherwise, you're spread too thinly. I mean, there's, 800 million, more than that, websites. There's 500 million people on Facebook. You know, you can't break through the clutter unless you try to go after a more defined target market.
So complicated to me. Okay.
It's the same tactics that you would use with offline marketing. And guerrilla marketing, online is another method. So it seems a little overwhelming, but it is just a matter of a new technology. All the basic principles of marketing still apply.
Do you ever want to work with the list rental house?
You can. Generally, will end up costing you about 10 cents a name to work for an email list rental house. If you're looking for email addresses from people, and you can sort by all kinds of things when you work with the list rental house. And again, you just go online and you search for list rental in your topic area. So list rental alternative health. And you will tell them what kinds of, they're going to want to know what audience did you want. Are you trying to reach people in business? Are you trying to reach consumers who are interested in alternative health? How many people are you trying to reach? Where do they live? What gender are they? What age are they? And, you know, how much money do you want to spend? And then what you'll do, you don't actually get those names. You will create the email, and you send it to the list rental house, and they send it out. So here's an important trick. If you're sending out an email through an online list rental house, then the first thing you want to do is invite people to sign up for your own list so you can capture those names for yourself.
Okay. Now, how would you send out a press release?
Oh, good.
The same way, or is it a different way?
Different way. And again, another good question. In my books, I talk about ways to send out press releases. Some of your listeners may be familiar. They see news stories come across on Google or on Yahoo, and you can submit to those websites, to those news feeds. There are other free websites where you can post a press release, like PRfree.com, or there is an online equivalent of an old PR distribution firm like MarketWire.com, and then you pay a fee, and it will go out to thousands of sites. So that's several of the ways to publicize, to get your press release out. And the press releases are very good things to do, even if all you do is use the free distribution channels, because the search engines like to see that companies are using press releases.
Okay.
There's another really exciting thing that you can do now using social media, and these are called social news sites. So you can submit your press release to social news sites like Reddit, reddit.com, or dig.com, D-I-G-G.com, and then your press release is out there for a lot of other individuals to see.
Okay. And they have just forms that you fill in? Does it cost you anything to do that?
It depends on the site. Most of them, the free ones, generally you're going to create your press release in Word and just upload it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them, like pitchengine.com, have a form that you fill out. So it depends on the particular venue that or distribution channel that you're using.
Okay. Now, you talk in your book about buzzing with inbound link campaigns. What does that mean?
Okay. One of the secrets of getting found in search engines, particularly Google, is that other websites have to link to you. Google's natural search results, those the ones on the left side of the page, are basically a giant popularity contest. And it's sort of like high school, you know, where the in crowd, their votes for king and queen of the prom always carried more weight than everybody else's. So what happens is that Google looks at how many other websites link to your website and whether or not they themselves have a lot of traffic and are active and are updating their site frequently and they themselves are part of and have an active online presence. So what you're doing then is making sure that other websites link to yours. And what I do is and you have to go out. For this, you have to send out emails, and you can do this as a bulk email, you know, up to 50 names at a time, asking people if they would like to link to your website. And sometimes they'll come back and say yes, but only if you link back to ours. That's called a reciprocal link. But sometimes they will just put it up. Sometimes you can post your link on somebody else's website using an automated function on the website, and it will say, you know, submit your site or add your site here, mm-hmm. and you click on that link and a little form will come up. Links are very, very important, partly because they increase your search engine ranking and your likelihood of appearing on search engine results, and also because if you share a similar target market with the company or the website that's linking to yours, then you're going to be able to attract their audience to your website.
So I would just call up one of my friends and say, would you share links with me? And I'd put evaherr.com, and then I would say, like, Norm Shee, or you, janzimmerman.com, or watermelonmarketing.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'd just paste a little thing on our websites that say that?
Yep. You would send an email message to people and say, you know, I'd like to exchange links, and I will post your link, and you give, when you often people will have a resources page or a links page, and you say, I'll post your link on my links page if you'll post my link on yours.
Oh, okay.
And that will help. That really helps. It drives direct traffic, and it really helps with search engine results.
my next page was, my next question was going to be, how do you improve your grade page rank? You just told us that, right?
Right. Now there's
something else.
There's more. None of this. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
You all right?
Getting over a cold. So my apologies for coughing on the internet. The other thing that you need to do is to what they call optimize your site for search terms. And that means that you need to have the search terms that people would like to use to find you. So that, for instance, in the case of Infinite Consciousness or EvaHer.com, you might have holistic health, you might have alternative medicine, you might have complementary medicine, you might have consciousness, you might have several different terms that people might use when they want to search for and find somebody who offers the kinds of things that you do. And then you need to be sure that those search terms appear in particular places on your website. The first place they have to appear is in the first paragraph of text on a page. So let's say you have a list of maybe 30 search terms, and you might put three or four of them on the home page of your text in the first paragraph, and another three or four on another page, and another three or four on a third page, and so on.
Okay.
And that helps.
It doesn't matter that they're just in there. It's got to be in the first paragraph.
It's got to be in the first paragraph because the search engines don't have time to read all of the pages, so, and all of the content on a page, so they really stop looking after the first paragraph.
It's interesting they even know to do that.
Well, what they do is they look for a code for return, and they stop after they get to the first return. You know, when you hit enter on your computer, it actually generates what they call a non-printing character, and the search engines can look for that.
Okay.
These search engines are so smart.
Obviously. I didn't know they knew to do that. I thought it could just be anywhere on your page. It's good to know that.
No, it really needs to be in the first paragraph, and then there's some other places in the code. And I explain in my book where they have to go, and those are places where your programmer puts these same keywords.
Okay.
So some stuff is hard sometimes for just individuals to do. They have to work with their programmers.
Okay. The next thing is there anything else there you can tell us about that before I go to the next one?
Oh, let's go on to the next question. I mean, I could go on and on with how do you optimize for search engines, but I think it will bore the audience. Best thing to do is to read the book because, you know, there's like 40 pages on how you do this.
Okay, so the next question is, how do you use online video vlog, and what is a vlog?
Oh, another good question. A vlog is a fancy name for a video log. And some of your readers may be familiar with the term blog with a B, which was a shortened abbreviation for web log, which was kind of like a diary or a journal originally, and has taken on a lot of new roles. And a vlog or video blog is simply a video version or a video way of telling the story. And so it really now just means uploading videos. And most people put them on YouTube, YouTube.com. And you can create your own channel, like your own, it's like your own little mini website within YouTube, so that all of the videos that you post go in there.
How do you do that? How do you create your own channel?
How do you create your own channel? If you go to YouTube.com and you search for help on create a channel, you will get step-by-step instructions for how to do this. It's pretty straightforward. They take you to a page, you fill out a little form, you know, with your name, and you put in your same search terms again. And they say, okay, this is your channel, and they generate a web address for you. And then you will find places where you say upload video, and you will find you put your video on your hard drive, and then you upload it from your hard drive to these websites.
Wow. Okay. Does it require special software or not?
Creating a video that is appropriate for showing online usually does require some special software if you are really concerned about quality. But as we all know, people can take videos with their cell phones and upload those to YouTube. People can take a video with a video camera and upload those. When people are interested in certain kinds of high resolution or something like that, then they need some technical software. And again, you would go to your programmer if you want to do something with special software. It's kind of like your podcast, like your radio show. When you're going through BBS.com, they actually have some software to make sure that the audio is very good quality. But if you wanted to just record something onto your computer using a microphone, you could do that and upload the file.
Oh, okay. How do you protect copyrighted material?
Oh, that's a very good question. The first and most important thing to know is that all the standard copyright laws apply. So the first thing you have to do if you're going to have common law copyright is you have to provide notice to other people that the material is copyrighted. And that means that you use the copyright symbol or the word copyright, followed by the year, followed by the name of the copyright holder.
Okay.
And people can just go, you can go to the Library of Congress, loc.gov. I think now that there's probably even a site called, I think there's now copyright.gov, and you can find out all the directions for doing this. So the first thing is you have to provide notice. Now, that doesn't really keep people from downloading your stuff and using it without telling you. So sometimes what people will do online is they will watermark, especially photographs or even video, so that their name shows up on every part of every image. And that keeps other people from using their material illegally. Or you can there's ways to keep people from downloading stuff, to prohibit downloads. It gets a little bit on the technical side. But it's a huge issue because people steal stuff off online all the time. And it's a real problem when you have art, especially. There is one other thing that people might want to know about. It's called creativecommons.org. And this is an easy way to establish different kinds of permission levels. So you might have some images or content that you don't care if other people use. You might have some that say you can use it, but only if you give me credit. And you have other kinds that you can say you can't use this without paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Creative Commons lets you attach a value to different images, different content, or videos, or audio, or music, so that other people can't just steal your stuff. That's a big issue. It's a big issue online.
What is an autoresponder, and how do you implement that, and what does it do for you?
Autoresponders are an interesting way to save some time and to sort of automatically generate a sequence of messages to your customers or to your newsletter subscribers. So, and it's often done through your email news program, or else your programmer can do it on your website. So a good example of an autoresponder is you buy something online and then you get a message that says, okay, this is confirming that you bought this and this amount is going to be charged to your account. And then when the item ships, you get another message saying that this product has shipped.
Yes, I've seen that.
Right. So those are examples of autoresponders. And they're set up so that they just happen automatically. Some autoresponders put out a message so that if somebody comes back and says, I am interested in product one. They get a new email message that about product one. If they say they're interested in product two, they'll get an email message about product two.
And how do you set that up?
Again, if it's a number, if it's in a response to an email chain, it's sort of like automatically chaining a response. Then you, it's set up through your email program. Programs like, again, like MailChimp and Constant Contact will set up the autoresponder for you. You just say, if somebody does this, send this other message.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it can be done through those programs. If you're doing it through a shopping system, the autoresponder is generally set up through the shopping cart. And that's something only your programmer would do for you.
Okay. So of all the things that you know, what are the first things that we should do now that we've gone over all these things? I mean, what are the top things that someone can do to market themselves from your perspective?
The very first thing is to figure out what you're trying to accomplish and define your target market. Without that, you're going to end up wasting a lot of your own time and money. And most small business owners and authors and alternative practitioners don't have a lot of time or cash resources. So really think about what you're trying to accomplish and use the principle of guerrilla marketing that
Tell
you would
what
use.
That is. Don't assume.
Guerrilla marketing are low-cost ways to reach a very small target market. And the way guerrilla marketing works is you go after one target market at a time, and once that market is successful, you can reinvest your profits from those sales into your next target market. So it keeps your resources focused to achieve a critical mass. And that's really important because people need to see your message multiple times to really, you know, it's true whether it's print advertising or radio advertising. It's why ads are repeated all the time, is because people need to see or hear something generally seven times before they'll even remember it. So target marketing is really, really important. And online, when you market online, that really helps. And then once you've figured that out, I would say the single most important thing to do still, in spite of all the fancy social media that's out there, the single most important thing to do is to optimize your website for natural search.
Okay.
You know, we hear a lot of stuff about, oh, there's more people on Facebook than there are on Google. And that's true, but they aren't busy searching for something. They're busy, you know, reading about their friends and relatives and what they're up to and exchanging photos and telling people, you know, what they've had for lunch or whatever, or what they're going to do that night. They aren't out there on those social media sites generally searching for your product. But when people are using a search engine, they are searching for a product.
And I know
or
I've already asked you this question, but it's just complicated to me. I don't know why. When we identify our target market,
mm-hmm.
how do we get who they are?
Well, let me ask you a question just for you. Do the people that are from your own experience with your own book or with your own website, are the people who are interested more likely to be male or female?
Probably female.
Female. Are they likely to be under 25, between 25 and 50, over 50?
Probably between 25 and 50.
Between 25 and 50. Do they live all over the country, or are they concentrated in urban areas or rural areas?
All over the world.
All over the world, okay. And what other kinds of things are they interested in?
For my own personal self, I would say most of them are interested in learning how to, use consciousness to change their life. You know, use mind. How do you change your life with mind? Or anti-aging, or how do I get rid of this disease, or how do I know a disease is coming so I can prevent it from happening? I find many of my personal people are people who are educated, but they have, because of the economy, they have no job or they have no health insurance, so they
mm-hmm.
need help with their health.
With their health. Okay, so, excuse me, you've just told me an awful lot about who you're trying to reach online. So the first thing that I would do is find other websites. I would type in some of these other things that people are going to, or other search terms like this, and look at some other very big websites that come up at the top of search engine results. And then you go to a site called Quantcast, QUANTCAST.com, or Alexa, ALEXA.com,
mm-hmm.
and they will give you the estimated demographics of people who are reaching or using that website.
Oh, okay.
And that's very helpful because then you can look at that website and you can say, ah, let me see what search terms they are using. Let me see, and Alexa will also tell you who is linking to these websites, so you can ask those same companies to link to yours. You can right-click on a website and select View Page Source and see what search terms they are using, and you can say, these people have figured out how to reach the same audience I'm trying to reach.
Okay.
So I can use some of the same techniques they have used successfully, and I will reach that same group of people.
Okay. And then once you get that information, what do you do with it?
Well, then you're going to optimize your website. You're going to request those links. Those are the first two things you're going to do. And then you're going to say, okay, then, because that can take a few months for that to work, and then you can say, do I want to set up an email list? Because then people who come to your website will give you, you know, they can, might sign up and it gives you an opportunity to reach them, say, once a week or once a month. Or do I want to put some information on Facebook so I can invite people to comment back? A lot of times establishing two-way communication using some form of social media is a good way to draw people into your circle. So you can use that method. And part of it is trial and error to figure out what works. Part of it is seeing, you know, what your competitors are doing and how well that works. And then you can just start to say, this is going to work for me. Now, for instance, in a 25 to 50 group, I would probably say Twitter is probably not a good place for you, those little short messages that show up on people's cell phones. But there could be, if you were doing something where you were sending out, say, an affirmation every day
mm-hmm.
or a positive message every day, that might be very good on Twitter.
Okay.
So it depends a lot on what you want to accomplish.
And people who are marketing their books, what's the best way for them to do that?
Is it different?
Or?
Well, there are some very special methods for marketing books, and I have put together a list that's on my website at watermelonweb.com/marketingresources.htm. And you click on the link to social media resources for alternative health and author marketing. And there are some very special ways that authors can market their books, which is really...
I'm looking at your site. Where did you say go? On the marketing page, and then where do you...
/marketingresources.htm.
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
Okay. And then you click on the first link right up there at the top that says the Alternative Health Authors Resource Handout.
That.
And that's just going to open with Word.
I see site marketing services.
Okay, you're going to go, are you on the marketingresources.htm page?
I'm on marketing.htm, but I need to add the word in resources.
Yes, it's marketing resources.
Oh, okay.
.htm.
Oh, okay. I see.
And then that first download.
Oh, so you have something directly for people in alternative health, which is what most
right.
people are.
Right.
Okay.
So this has both authors' resources and it has some alternative health resources. And these are very special websites that you can use that will help you reach people who are interested in what you have to sell. Because, again, there's billions of people on the internet, and only a subset of those people are going to be interested in what you're doing.
Huge resource here.
This is a huge
work here. Yeah, it just opened.
Yeah,
up.
I mean, that's why I say find one or two things that you want to do. This is back to the guerrilla marketing, and do those well. I mean, to try and do all of them, you'll make yourself crazy, and nobody has enough time to do them all. So you look through the links and you say, oh, this would be good for me, and this one would be good for me. And maybe you get the list down to 5 or 6, and then you pick one or two, and you focus on that. But first, do your website. Second, optimize it. 3, get inbound links. And then you do these other things. And these are all ways to reach your target market. But especially for books, for people who are interested in books and people who are trying to reach readers, sites like readersread.com and Shelfari, which is people who bookmark, meaning they want to share a particular website, but it's all about books. When you stay with specific book type sites, or you stay with specific someplace like the healthandwellnesscentral.com, which specifically connects authors to different websites in sub areas of health and wellness. These are all ways of reaching your target market.
Okay, now I see something here that says how to market your book on that information you gave me. Is it, what do you mean how to market your book? Is it how to market your book.com, or you just Google those words?
How to market your book, and let me just make sure I'm seeing the same thing you're seeing. On the left-hand column, how to market your book should be...
So it goes all the way across.
It goes across.
Okay.
So it goes across.
That's a great resource.
Yeah, it's the Savvy Book Marketer. Excuse me. And this is actually somebody's blog, because it's on typepad.com, and it's giving people ideas for how to promote your book.
This is a great resource.
Yes. So there's direct resources, and there's resources that take you to other resources on this list. But there are so many different ways to promote a book, and these days there are so many people who are self-publishing. And it's all a matter of how do you find your readers.
So we've got 10 minutes left. What do you think is most important that you tell us in this 10 minutes?
I would say to stick with the basics of marketing and not worry about some of the fancy stuff. Don't worry about the things that will cost a lot of money, like display advertising online. I'm sorry, like display advertising online, or like things that may be expensive to produce. Now, one of the things that you can do that's pretty inexpensive to produce if you've got a decent video camera is you could do a reading from your book, or you could do an interview. You could have somebody, I know you've had other people interview you. Mm-hmm. Those could be done as a video, and you could post the video of that interview online.
Now, where would you post it? At YouTube? Aren't you limited to 15 minutes or something like that? How would you break something up like that?
Well, in general, that's another good question. Generally, you don't want long videos because people don't watch them. So you might break up a specific question and answer.
Okay.
And you would put you would edit that into one separate piece. And, of course, you do need some editing software to do that, because maybe you have a half-hour interview, and you might want to break it up into 5-minute segments, because people generally don't have the patience to watch something really long unless they're watching, a TV program or streaming a movie online.
Do you recommend some editing software?
I don't have any specific editing software that I would recommend. Again, I would say Google it or talk to your programmer and see what it is that they recommend using.
Okay.
So, again, I would say stick mostly to the things that you can do for free and perhaps try one form of social media. If you really like to write, and a lot of writers like to write, so it's not a problem, add a blog to your website. And this allows you, without any help from the programmer, you can add something to your website once a day or at least once a week, and you can invite other people to comment or to post their own messages back, and you get a conversation going. It's a way of doing relationship marketing online. But
so
you're established.
How would you do that on your website? You would go to Facebook or something and invite them to come to your website and look at the blog, or do you build that in on your blog?
You can build the blog in right on Facebook. You can build the blog on your website, or you can do a whole separate blog on places like WordPress or TypePad. And that's another template. It's another thing you sign up and they give you little boxes to type into.
Okay.
And then you say, I want comments or I don't want comments, and do I have to review the comments before they appear visually to everybody else? So you can control what gets posted.
Now, one thing that you mentioned in your book that you said was very important is to put your URL on your stationery and your email signature block. People don't do that. I didn't do that. I don't know why.
Well, this is one of the easiest free things you can do. I mean, everywhere, once you're doing this, your domain name needs to show up everywhere, the same way your phone number would show up, okay, or your email address. If you want people to reach you, you got to tell them how. And one of the easiest things to do is in your email program, and it just depends which email program you use, but usually it's under tools or options, and you are going to look for something that says signatures. So for instance, I'm just looking at Outlook Express, and I clicked under Tools, I clicked on Options, and there's a tab there for signatures. And you check a box that says Add Signatures to All Outgoing Messages, and then you type in the signature block that you want, including and it will automatically become a link if you put http://, in front of your web address. So you just type that in as part of it. And you put in your phone number and you put in all, I mean, you're in business, so you can't hide your light under a bushel. And you put in all the ways that people can reach you. You can even put in a marketing message.
And one more question. We got just a few more minutes. You also talk about delivering your newsletter through Yahoo or Google Groups. How do you do that?
This is an alternative. It's a way to do something free without having to pay for newsletter software. And you would just go to groups.google.com or groups.yahoo.com, and they will tell you how to set up a group. The downside of it is that people have to sign up individually, and it's a bit of a hassle for them. It's more difficult for them to sign up for a group than it is to sign up for your newsletter.
Okay.
And the other thing is, these will come out as all text. They won't come out, you can't do it, you can't put in pictures the way you can with a newsletter, with an email newsletter.
Okay.
So if you're only going to send out a text message, you can set up a Google group and you can invite people, you can email them, you know, in batches of 50 or something at a time, to invite them to go to this link at Google Groups or Yahoo Groups to sign up for your group. And then they can decide whether they want to have to log into the group to find the information or if they want it to come into their mailbox.
Okay.
And most people just have it come into their mailbox.
Okay. All right.
So that's a good alternative if you don't have the money for a commercial mailing list program.
Anything else you can think of? We've got a couple of minutes.
I would say, again, always go back to the basics of marketing. A lot of clients will come to me and say, I have this beautiful website. I spent all of this money. And people are coming to the website, but nobody is buying what I'm selling. And there's a section in the book, especially in the Web Marketing for Dummies book, where I talk about the four P's of marketing: product, price, position, and placement. And a lot of times when people come back to me and something isn't selling, it's not their website. It's because maybe they haven't priced the product appropriately for what they're trying to sell, because people can buy something similar for a lot less money. Or perhaps there's not something that sets them apart from their competition, so they haven't positioned themselves well against other people who are doing something similar. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just haven't promoted it well. They've done a website, but they put all their money into developing the website, and they didn't spend any money trying to get it promoted. I mean, I basically say to somebody, figure out what your budget is and set aside a minimum of 20% of that budget to promote your website and get the word out that you're there. And don't put all of it into developing the site and leave yourself without any resources to let people know about you.
Okay.
That's a very common mistake. And also, you know, people will start out thinking a website's only going to cost them, you know, $600, and by the time they're done, it's cost them twice that or four times that.
Yeah.
So it can be a little tricky, but it's doable, and online marketing is really very cost-effective. You get to find out the results with statistics and analytics software that you can't find out from advertising any other way.
What software would that be?
I happen to like Google Analytics, which is code that's placed on your website, and then you can find out exactly who's coming to your website, how they're getting there, what search terms they're using, and which of your links is driving traffic to your software, to your website. It's computers know how to count, and so people have figured out all kinds of ways, and that's free. Google Analytics is free. Yahoo has something similar, which is free. There's some other services that are free. Don't just put a counter on your website. That's not very helpful, and you really don't want other people seeing that information.
Okay. I wish I had another hour to pick your brain, Jay, and I have no idea how you learned all of this stuff. It's just like Greek to me.
Well, when you do it a little bit at a time, it's not so bad. And I have no idea, Eva, how you've learned everything that you do. So it's just, I guess, how we've spent our time.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, thanks for coming on, and I hope you'll come back sometime, because I know I can come up with another million questions or two.
Well, you've asked great questions, and I hope that you and your listeners have found it helpful, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Elliot Dasher, author of Integral Health.
Integral Health.
You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health.
Just
tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Harris.